It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
It's the Homer Hour coming to you on a beautiful Friday. I'm not Homer. I'm Josh DiMaggio, and alongside me is Kyle Wallace. And if you're sick of us, well, sit tight, because you got another hour coming.
Definitely. Now, here's the thing, though. The host Kyle's gone. This is reactor. This is me and my element. I usually kick my feet up sometimes. I look at C-Cat. I had to get locked in when I got to run the show, but now it's Friday, baby. I'm just trying to get it through 60 minutes. What you want to talk about, Josh?
If you're just joining us, Kyle and I just did Kyle and Brust, and we switched roles. I am now leading the show. Kyle is reacting. And it's going to be a little bit different vibe. The Brewers currently are down 2-4 to the Colorado Rockies.
What inning is it? I saw that Bryce Terrain just went yard.
It is the top of the 7th.
Look at 2 home runs today for runs.
Yes.
It's impressive.
Mickey Moniak is currently taking a walk for the Brewers. We're not doing play-by-play. We're just telling you what's going on.
Oh, yeah, definitely not.
Well, Bryce Terrain did nearly hit one off the tundra out there in center field, which I've always been waiting to happen.
Yeah, has that never happened?
I don't believe it is. I know there's been some close calls.
To be able to win a free Toyota Tundra.
Yeah, somebody in the stands, I believe, would be a recipient of said Toyota Tundra. I want to start off in a little bit different spot here. It's Friday, feeling a little loose. We'll get to plenty of Brewers.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to the Badgers, who are now on 620 WTMJ now. ESPN Milwaukee for football. We'll listen to all of them. Some basketball games, all of that. That's all exciting news. We're pumped about it. It's been 12 years, and they're back home where they belong, right here.
The shirt I have on, Josh.
Uh-huh.
This Rose Bowl shirt. This is a back-to-back Rose Bowl shirt. That was in 2012. Going, back to Cali to catch an L, which we did. I was there. It was a great game.
Uh-huh.
Still mad about the fact that, you know, Nick Toon didn't get up off the ground. And we ended up, the clock ran out, and we lost to Oregon as we were driving downfield.
But what I do want to talk about to you with you guys is this dilemma. And I'm going to need help from the audience. I'm going to need help from you guys. I've got a little thing happening at the homestead.
Oh, what's going on there?
I live in a duplex. I live on the bottom floor. We have a random neighbor. We have now lived below for about 8 months, 9 months.
Okay.
It's someone relatively new. We do not have the same relationship we did previously.
Oh, your neighbors upstairs, you were cool with. They moved.
We were cool with. We had dinner. We'd help them out. All that stuff. We were quite friendly. They had 2 adorable kids. Oh. We'd hang out.
Ooh,
we'd play.
Kids on top. Mm-mm. That was
surprisingly not as bad as you'd anticipate. Maybe even less noisy than the non-kids that are above us right now.
Oh, you don't like your neighbors.
But the past week, in front of the neighbor's front door, our front door is on the same porch, there has been a rather sizable wardrobe, let's call it. It looks like a dresser, but it is made more to contain. It's big. It's 3 feet wide by 5 feet. It's 3 feet deep by 4 feet wide.
Okay,
so it's big. It's not your standard.
3 feet is wide. That's
very
a wide.
Wide
thing.
It has been on our front porch since last week Thursday.
Wait, and you're the downstairs.
I'm the downstairs. It's not in front of our door because they have a door that leads up.
Okay.
But this wardrobe has been there since, I believe, last Thursday evening.
So it's been over a week.
I immediately walked out and realized, wow, that is gigantic. How are the 2 people that live there going to get that upstairs? There seems to be, you ever seen the moving straps that some users, that movers use, where it's like you put it under it and then you use your full body power instead of just your arms?
Yep, to be able to. Mm-hmm.
Well, that has been under it the entire time. Well, no, that happened on Saturday. So they went and took out the straps to see if they could use those to help them move it up, because the old-fashioned way of just lifting a corner
wasn't going to happen. This is heavy.
So this week, I want to say around Tuesday, we got a text message. It said, just want you to know we're going to take care of it, but Is your boyfriend home, and do you think he could help move?
You a damn lie. You a damn lie. Hell no. So wait a minute. This thing. Josh has already measured this thing. He said this damn thing is a damn defensive lineman.
I looked at it and said there is no way in hell that's getting up those stairs.
Did you?
It's
say,
a Milwaukee home.
Did you tell them? Have you seen my boyfriend? Do you think that man is the buff, strong, about to lift this damn thing? I know for damn sure. I tell people look at me. I say look at me all the time. I hire people. I can't do. I'm useless.
So when the ask was initially made, I was not home. So I was not available to help because if you know me, if you say something or you ask for help, I'm probably going to do it. Even though looking at it and looking at the people upstairs, I'm thinking I would have to call two or three people to get this. Right.
And now you two or three people, too many people in the way.
But then since then, two movers were hired to try and take it up the stairs.
Okay.
It didn't make it up a single stair.
Wait.
They showed up. They sized it up. They tried to pick it up, tried to move it, didn't work. And now, as we sit here today, that wardrobe is still on my porch.
So over a week ago, did your lady text them saying, hey, what are y'all finna do with this?
That's the thing. I feel like 2-3 days is probably the time limit of where I would afford somebody the, I get it. You were moving. It was busy. You had a lot of stuff to do. It's so big, somebody's certainly not going to steal it.
Yeah, I was going to say, if it was movable, somebody would have stolen it.
It would have been gone. Now, this isn't the first time either something rather large has sat on our porch for the neighbor for multiple days. There was a bed delivered that sat there, I think, for 4 days, 5 days.
Why did the bed sit there for days?
Because it was heavy, and I don't think the other person was there to help move.
This is crazy. Did you have a fire one time?
The neighbor up the street from me did have a fire on their porch. Okay. Listeners to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy will remember. I ended up putting out a fire on this gentleman's front porch. This is the whole different story. And he, as I was ringing his Ring doorbell and actively putting out a fire, he was smoking a cigarette, put it in a bucket. It was a plastic bucket. The bucket started on fire, started the porch on fire, and flames were taking over the front porch.
That's crazy. Because James, the postman on the Carver's Talking yes. text line, said porch fire. I said, wait a minute. What, didn't Josh yes. talk about a porch fire?
Yeah, there was a porch fire. He eventually came out after I put it out, and I said, hey, your porch was on fire. I think I put it out, but I don't know if it's going to catch fire again because these stairs are all charred. They're falling apart. And he said, thanks, I guess. And I said, all right, good to know.
Yes.
But I don't like confrontation, especially with a neighbor, somebody I'm going to have to coexist with for who knows how long. I don't know if they're going to be there multiple years, and I don't want to start a beef. And I do understand I can be sympathetic. And that's a big thing.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get up the stairs. You might not have the ability to do it. But now that the movers have come and it failed, you have to just destroy this and get rid of it, right?
You got to figure it out. I would have returned it to the store.
Would you, if you were me, Kyle, CK, you can answer this as well. Would you have said something of, hey, I get it, but it's time, it's got to go?
Yeah, because it's a shared porch, right?
Right.
Like, if you said somebody else's house, if you
I'm
house,
able to get in and out of my door, but I do have to walk past it every single day.
At a certain point, like, it's an eyesore. It's an eyesore.
Correct.
This is a shared property. See, here's the sneaky thing. This is what you can do. Which is what you can do. You can make a phone call. Do you know your landlord?
We do.
All right. Landlord, have you been to the house lately?
See, but I don't want to be a snitch.
No. Okay, how long have you been living here for?
We'll be going on our third year.
Yeah, they believe they like y'all. Say, hey, how you doing? You may want to stop by your property just to check on things.
Take a peek.
Just to check on things. Because then when they show up, they go, what in the hell is this? to say, I didn't tell you to come. I'm just saying you may want to come because I feel like, you know, there's some stuff that, you know, may not be allowing for the property value to live its best life. It's a hazard. And so maybe if you don't feel good about snitching, maybe they need to find out that, you know, or at least saying something to them. Just tell the landlord to come by. You ain't got to tell the landlord or say, hey, can I talk to you? Can you come meet with me at the property? I got something to show you inside the property I need.
talk about something else. Yeah. And then when allow them in the front door, they go, "What's this?" You go, "Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. It's been sitting there for like a week. I don't know. I think it's the neighbors." That's what you said. "I think it's the neighbors. It's been sitting there for a week."
C-Cat, how would you have addressed this? Would you have said anything to them? Would you have notified the landlord? What's my move here? Because I also feel like, to add on to this, I feel like my the statute of limitations have passed. Now that I haven't said anything, I feel like I can't say anything.
Yeah, if you're looking to be empowered by anything I say to try to enact change and make your voice heard, you came to the wrong guy. I am the most passive.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I could get stabbed by my next door neighbor and I wouldn't even leave them a bad review.
You'd apologize for getting blood on their knife?
Exactly. That's pretty much my mentality with those that are around me. I never like to make a stink. I'm always the one that is like rationing with my girlfriend, like, "No, don't call the cops for the noise complaint. It's okay. I'm sure they're fine.
You live with one of them?
Yeah.
She be trying to call 911?
Yeah.
Oh, that's wild. That's wild.
We talked about the fireworks debate.
I'm in the same spot. I am encouraging not to alert authorities of things all the time.
Oh, both y'all ladies call the cops, not mine.
I don't.
Mine said, "Let them be. Don't call the police. Let them be."
It sounds like there's a role reversal here. You're the one saying,
"No, I ain't calling the police, but I will notify." Listen, I am definitely notify the person who's in charge. Who's in charge?
What if it's the police that are in charge?
Well, the police. I mean, I'm not calling the police because then you talk about people. I am definitely calling the authority figure that is in charge of a property. Oh yeah, I mean, when my baby she stayed in a certain apartment, I was like, "Hey, we need to." These people walking in and out. Where is the person in charge at? Like, they need to know about this. This is unacceptable.
See, so, I don't have that, and I probably could get away with it. I'm just afraid of my landlord potentially accidentally throwing me under the bus. And then there's a weird animosity. We share a garage.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We share a back stairs.
Well, if you get caught snitching, then it's all over because now you're the snitches from downstairs. They don't mess with you.
Right.
I definitely, there are people who I look up and down who I don't mess with. So I get it.
So are you of the belief that it's too far, too late? We've allowed it to go too far and we just have to.
Oh, no. What did you do? Because it's been only a week now. I think once you get to at least 3 weeks, if it's still out there, give it one more week because it's been a week.
Mm-hmm.
Give it one more week. And then at some point in that third week, it's like, hey, because 21 days is more than enough time.
Would it be passive aggressive to offer help dismantling said wardrobe and saying, "I'm not going to preserve it and let you rebuild it, but I will break it down, put it in the trash, and make sure it's able to be moved
Bless
on.
Your soul, Josh DiMaggio. I'll be danged if I'm taking any of my time to try to help somebody else deassemble something.
What I was really thinking is I'd
rather let it sit.
I have a circular saw and I have a hammer.
Oh, ring, so you just kill it.
Yes, yeah.
Why not? They need to trash it.
Yeah,
just trash.
I also have a fear too. Like, you know how trash is, in especially in the city. They take certain things. They don't take certain things. There's a certain time do it.
They're not taking.
No, they aren't.
You got to make a special call for
it. Got to go to the dump.
And then if they try to get it, the problem is how heavy you make it sound. Uh-huh. They may be like, "Oh, you want to take this yourself?"
We respect our trashmen greatly. And I understand the job is not the most desirable.
I'm a big fan of DPW, baby.
Uh-huh. And I don't want to treat them. You ever heard the story about how Chewy made a comment about at his house, they did not use enough salt or they used too much. And then the truck showed up at the next snow and the next time it was needed and dumped like half a bucket directly in front of his house.
Oh, so he complained. Yeah.
Oh.
And that was the last time I said I'm never going to say anything about the mailman. Shout out to the mailman, Fred. He's a listener. I hear him listen to K&B when I'm walking the dog at home. Shout out to Fred. I know him and I'm definitely not. It's not going to be the mailman, nor is it going to be the DPW or waste management, any of that. I'm just not going down that road.
Yeah, I feel you.
They can, if they want to, they can make you have some bad days.
Yeah, they definitely can. 100% can. Especially you on play around your mail. But no, Josh, I'm telling you, since you're passive aggressive, go ahead and just give it 2 weeks. Give it 2 weeks.
2 weeks. And 2 weeks after that, I then just go into, hey, how can I help you get rid of this? Or do I contact the landlord? What's the move?
After 2 weeks, you tell them, like, hey, bro, like, what y'all about to do with this?
Right.
Like, I mean, and at that point, you could say, I can help y'all. Like, what do y'all, are you getting rid of it? Or, like, I
right.
can help you get rid of it.
That's
but
fair.
What if he gives you the slightest bit of, like, resistance? Like, what do you do then?
I'd probably turtle up and go, okay, cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, we're going to figure it out. And you're like, okay.
You betcha. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
At that point, snitching is definitely on the table.
Yeah.
Definitely
yeah.
on the
okay.
table.
All right. This is the Homer Hour. He's Kyle Wallace. I'm Josh DiMaggio. The Brewers are playing right now, but the Brewers have some big decisions coming up. Matt Arnold had some words to say. We're going to listen to that. We're going to react. We're going to talk Milwaukee Brewers trade deadline coming up next. This is the Homer Hour. It's the Homer Hour. Josh DiMaggio and Kyle Wallace in for Home Slice today. The Milwaukee Brewers have a lot of big decisions approaching. The trade deadline is a little more than a week away. And as they look like contenders, and everybody here is desperate for a World Series win, Matt Arnold appeared on Foul Territory and weighed in on how aggressive the Brewers may be.
We have to have one eye on the present, one eye on the future at all times, you know. And so certainly with where we are in the standings, I'd love to do what we can to help the team. And we just have to think about those things responsibly. And, you know, we work really hard. Our scouts, our coaches put a ton of work and dedicate their lives, frankly, to developing the players and that you have on the field. And I will say that we've had many chances to trade the guys we have on the field now that are, you know, one of the best teams in baseball and at the moment. And, you know, we've stayed disciplined and you know, I think that's something that's really important. But at the same time, you know, you don't get these chances all the time. And so I would love to do what we can to help the team responsibly.
It's a lot of interesting stuff there. It did feel, now, Kyle, let me know if I'm overreacting a little bit here. It did seem to tamp down the flames that probably rose after Adam McKelvey from MLB.com said the Brewers are looking to be aggressive and that they've checked in on the prices for both Tarik Skubal and Mason Miller. He said a few words there where he was like talking about being responsible and having one plan for the current, one plan for the future, and trying to marry those things. We've had plenty of opportunity to trade the guys that are on the field right now, but we stuck with them, and now they're the best team in baseball.
It is interesting, Josh, because he said also discipline and responsible.
Uh-huh.
And so that all leads me to believe is you're right. He's trying to say, hey, listen, I've heard the reports too. We're doing our due diligence, but don't sit here and expect for me to be able to trade the future for the present now, because the Milwaukee Brewers are always thinking about having as many shots and having many bites at the apple. And by going all in for 1 year, you may be, yeah, it may not impact the team next year or the year after, but when you're talking about the future, he doesn't want the Brewers to get back to where we were years ago. We're a bottom feeder team, right? Where we're struggling. We got to build our farm system back up. So I think he's really going to be responsible. I wholeheartedly believe they are making calls. But when Adam McKelvey made that, he wrote that article about the fact that the Brewers were looking to be aggressive at the deadline. I was curious if it aggressive means making calls just to be exploratory calls,
uh-huh,
or making calls to see what they would have to do in order to get it done, get it done.
It feels like we've become accustomed to the making calls and being in the mix conversation as it pertains to the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
As we know, whenever somebody's available, the Packers are in the mix. They're making the calls. They're doing their due diligence.
I love a good due diligence call.
But there is a piece of me here that wonders if this is sort of – I think obviously your approach is to be responsible,
mm-hmm,
to not mortgage the future for a shot at winning this year. The difference is this year different enough to not be totally irresponsible, but a little more irresponsible than you have been in the past?
Yeah, what I find to be so interesting about this is that the team clearly, I think overall as a team, they're a better team because they're more consistent. Like last year, you had some really great winning streaks.
Yep.
This year, you're seeing a consistent ball club.
Yep.
But the big but, and this is why everybody's talking about pitching, last year, you were talking about Quinn Priester. You were talking about Jacob Mizorowski a little bit. And you were also talking about Brandon Woodruff. And you had Freddie Peralta. You knew going into the playoffs, you were hoping until Brandon Woodruff got hurt and then the Miz fell off. But during the season, there was a time where you had four guys that you were thinking about, right? Like it, when it came to the starting rotation. This year, when you think about the starting rotation, you got a lot of inexperience. You're looking at a Kyle Harrison, who I believe in, but he's young, he's inexperienced. Robert Gasser, young and inexperienced. Brandon Sproat, young and inexperienced. Like we can go up and down all the different guys that the Brewers have. There's a lot of young and inexperienced guys when it comes to the playoffs outside of Jacob Mizorowski. And so with the Milwaukee Brewers moving forward, I'm hesitant to think that they believe that this is 100% the year. Like I think they believe that they have a chance, but I do believe, Josh, when you move forward to a couple years from now, they like to call me Future Kyle. I'm always talking about the future, just like Matt Arnold talking about the future. I believe where the Brewers are at this year is phenomenal, but I think it only gets better. I think as the years go on, and we had on Kyle and Bruss earlier today, when we had Nigel Morgan join us, he's talking about bring up Madej, Jesus Madej, who's the number one prospect in baseball. You talk about Andrew Fisher, who's shooting his way up the charts in baseball as he has 29 home runs across AA and single-A baseball this year. The Brewers have a lot of guys that are going to be able to come up and be able to make an impact on this team in the next couple of years. What did you say that on purpose, or what was that? That was crazy. It was like he talked into the mic, but then it wasn't.
That was the big voice guy that you heard there.
Oh, man. It was like somebody
misclick, my bad.
Whisper in my
desk
ear.
Desk pop.
Tell me a little something right there.
Desk pop is good.
You ever heard the Whisper song, C-Cat?
Yes.
Oh. Wait till I show you this.
That song is wild. That song gets vulgar.
I'm 10 years old singing that song in the car with my dad. I remember when my dad actually heard the song. Either was that or Ludacris, he heard the song. He turned it off. He's like, what is this smut?
It is. I have a question here. It's a pretty easy one. I posted it into the YouTube chat as well. How do you want the Milwaukee Brewers to approach, the offseason? I meant to say the trade deadline, so I will have to repost that. C-Cat, maybe you can do it for me there while you're...
Gotcha. C-Cat, how do you feel about him jumping in there and doing your job during the show? How do you feel like he overstepped there? You feel like, hey,
no, hands off?
Or you appreciate the assistance?
I was waiting for the discount liquor poll question. That's what I was waiting for. Once I get the audible word, uh-huh, it gets posted.
So our discount liquor poll of the day on the Homer Hour is, how do you want the Milwaukee Brewers to approach the trade deadline? Responsibly? A little irresponsible? Or irresponsible? Because I'm thinking I have watched the Brewers long enough, and I've made the case, and I understand the economics of baseball. But I do think there may be a time, and the time may be now. I've wished it was 2018. I was begging them to get a little irresponsible. Maybe we trade some of these assets, and we go all in, and we try and win that World Series, the thing that we've been chasing for so long. I could make a case, and I'm not saying trade a Jesus Madé, but Luis Peña, Andrew Fisher...
Stop saying Andrew Fisher.
Right,
hands
deal,
off Andrew. Get your hands
off
Mr. Fisher.
If the right deal shows up, if it's possible, I would love to see the Brewers get a little bit out of their comfort zone. Maybe get a little irresponsible. I want some splash, and I want to have the utmost confidence when it comes to October that the team the Brewers are running out there have every opportunity to beat the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yeah.
I think I want a little irresponsibility.
Josh, I've said this before, is that the reason why I don't think the Brewers are 100% all in, I think the Brewers definitely want to win a World Series this year, and I think they're going to do, as Matt Arnold said, the responsible thing and making sure that they're going to try to, you know, make calls and see who they can get that makes them feel comfortable with giving up certain guys. I think they're going to be trying to find the most comfortable thing. But based off what they did in the offseason, they didn't operate like a team in the offseason that thought they were going to come in and win a World Series in 2026. They went to the NLCS, and instead of trying to add guys, the Brewers made no moves in the offseason. Like, the moves they made were getting rid of guys. Like, the biggest signing they had in the offseason, correct me if I'm wrong, was it Luis Rengifo?
Yeah.
And he's not even on the team. So, I mean, that told you right there, they were depending on the young talent to progress and get better on this roster to try to have them compete. So it just makes me believe that they didn't come into the season saying, we're going to do everything we can to win a World Series. And I know they're playing very well at this point, but I don't think they believe that they're maybe just one trade away from winning a World Series.
You're listening to the Homer Hour. I'm Josh DiMaggio. That's Kyle Wallace. We're filling in for the Home Slice today. I have a thought here. I want to hear your response to this. I think, with as smart and as talented as the Brewers front office is, led by Matt Arnold, I think they have the ability to absorb a little irresponsibility and a little more all in than maybe they're comfortable with. And I think them getting a tad uncomfortable, might be a good thing for them. If you think about it, all the great teams do things that I'm sure make them uncomfortable. I'm sure the Los Angeles Rams, when they go out and do the all-in thing, they think, hey, if this doesn't go right, we're probably going to be strapped. We're going to have some issues. When they won the Super Bowl, when they did the blank them picks that year.
They sure did.
The Brewers are so deep in terms of prospects, I think we can kind of have our cake and eat it too. I think we can get outside of our comfort zone as Milwaukee Brewers fans and as a Milwaukee Brewers front office and make some splash plays, give up a little more than you wanted to heading into the trade deadline, and still build the team you want to have in the future. They're littered with top 100 talent. They have one of the best systems in all of baseball across all the different places you can look at it. Isn't this the type of front office and team that would be primed to be able to make hay out of less than everyone else? They've been doing it for years.
I think they could make hay, but I'm just hesitant.
You're hesitant because of...
I don't, because the goal is to win a championship. And, mm-hmm. I think if the goal is to win a championship, you have a plan. Like the Brewers right now, we may not see the plan, but the plan is for the Brewers to bring these young prospects up and bring them along where all of a sudden you have all these guys up at the same time. I know we talked about this before the shows, and I really believe that the Brewers are looking to have, over the next 2 to 3 seasons, all of these great young prospects match with the guys they have in the major leagues who are going to be on their way out all at one time, where they're just people. There's other teams like the Yankees and the Red Sox, yeah, and the Dodgers, who are just rubbing their hands together waiting for these Brewers players to finally be available for them to pluck away. But the Brewers are all together. They're going to have a lot of young talent on the team at one time.
Here's my question. Do we think there's a plan to ever go all in, or do you think the plan is to be as competitive as possible and just hope and pray all the, you know, you end up turning your cards over and you have a royal flush? Or are you going to make bets? Are you going to risk some and force the hand? Are you going to force the ability to go win the World Series? Or are they hoping maybe things go right 1 year and for whatever reason the stars align and it happens? Because the plan to me seems like a plan we've become accustomed to. We're going to be very good. We're going to be very competitive. We're going to try and win the division. We're going to get into the playoffs, and we'll see what happens. And I don't know if that's a plan I'm okay with.
Josh, you've gotten greedy, my friend.
Oh,
maybe I'm just too scarred from back in the day of the times where the Brewers sucked, but I am happy where we're at, but I want to win a championship, and I think in due time the Milwaukee Brewers are going to catch lightning in a bottle. The royal flush is coming. I'm a big fan of Hamilton, right? You heard of Hamilton. You seen the play before?
Stinks.
No. How, Josh? What about the musical Hamilton stinks?
I think it's cringy.
It's great storytelling. But anyways, Aaron Burr turns into the enemy. But he had a song, I'm going to wait for, like, talk less, smile more. Like, that's what it's all about. The Milwaukee Brewers are eventually going to hit it. I promise you. We're going to win a World Series, and I think it's coming very soon.
You know, I do.
Royal flush coming soon.
I do a show with Alex Stroh every week, Mr. Irrelevant. You and him are similar in this.
Okay, where are you going with this? Where's the disrespect on a Friday going?
You both just have belief, and I envy that about you guys.
What else am I supposed to have?
You don't necessarily have evidence to support the belief.
Whoa. My evidence. Wait a minute. My general manager just told me that he's going to have one eye on the present and one eye on the future.
Both eyes, laser focus.
Listen, you can't have your cake and eat it too sometimes.
I want to.
When the Brewers don't spend money the way they do.
Let them eat cake.
The Brewers aren't going to buy a championship, so they have to develop a championship. And right now, Matt Arnold is sitting here smiling because the Brewers had, 7 players in the top 100 or 8? In the top 100? Like, it... Like, that's ridiculous. That is absolutely ridiculous. And that is all the work that he has put in. He fully understands that he has found a formula where he's able to find these guys, right? They either, whether it's going to the Dominican, whether it's going to Venezuela, wherever they go, they're finding this great talent, whether it's drafting. And so what he is saying is, don't worry. The master plan is going to come together, and you are seeing it right now. Look at Bryce Terang. Look at Cooper Pratt. Look at Luis Lara. Look at Jackson Churio. Look at Jacob Mizrahi. Who have the Brewers brought up from the minor leagues that was a top-end prospect that has not come through? They traded for Joey O.
Yeah.
Sal Frelick wasn't a top-end prospect. He was a good player. Like, everybody they have brought up so far has been lights out. So I'm going to trust. That's my evidence. I'm trusting the process. Jesus Mate, when has he not just been amazing? He's so dang good that you have Nyjah Morgan, who played in the MLB, played for the Brewers. So bring him up now. So I'm just saying, I'm trusting this process.
You want to talk numbers?
What's the number?
I got numbers for you.
Let's talk numbies.
Right now, if you look at the odds to win the World Series, it's plus 900 for the Brewers, which you can think of it from a betting perspective, but I like to think of it from a percentage, probability percentage, and that is a 10% chance to win the World Series.
The Dodgers
right now have a 36% chance to win the World Series.
That's a big
difference.
That's three times as much.
It's about like how many of those 10% years are you willing to sacrifice to get that 10% in this year to 20, to 25, dare I say a level playing field with the Dodgers.
C-Cat, would you rather have six more chances at it or two more chances at it?
I remove myself from this a lot, and I like being involved. I don't like going all in. I love the Brewers as they are constructed, and I love that they are a model of consistency.
Yeah, this ain't the NFL, right? The NFL, a good franchise like the Patriots, can bottom out for a couple of years and get it back together because they have a great organization and you hire the right person. All it takes is drafting the right quarterback, and you get seven. You should have seven picks in the draft, but you can have more picks. You can build the NFL roster quickly. In the NBA, it takes a little bit more time to turn around, but baseball, you got to be able to draft and develop, and you not see the guys that you draft, you're not going to see them for at least 3 years. For at least some guys, you may come up faster than others, but a lot of times these guys are going to be in the minor leagues for a while. So you got to be patient in baseball.
And I just feel like baseball is such a sample size sport where the playoffs are so short that a 10% with a fundamentally sound, disciplined baseball team with the Brewers, I like those chances a lot.
Yeah, they've been the same thing, though, since 2018.
Our Houston Astros year is coming. I'm just telling you this now. Our Houston Astros, remember Houston Astros?
The Houston Astros spent a lot more money.
No. Remember, when Houston finally got good, though,
yes,
a lot of that was homegrown talent.
I read the book.
Yeah. Oh, there was a book. Who wrote the book?
I believe the same guy who wrote Moneyball wrote the book on the Houston Astros and their turn. We ended up finding out a little bit of cheating in there, a little knockback.
But yeah, I mean, we had Harvard, as Homer used to call it.
My main point is this. I think and I believe in the front office and the Brewers way enough that they can risk more than they're comfortable with and still recover and be just as competent and talented in the future with giving up some of the assets they have now.
I understand your level of confidence in that, but I don't feel like at this moment I want to wait for the Brewers to try to go in all in. And then if we fail going all in, now we got to wait a couple of years for the Brewers to get their prospects to develop. I'm telling y'all this right now. The Brewers have something special brewing. And I'm not just talking about this season, but I'm talking about years to come. Matt Arnold and his team have done a phenomenal job of scouting. Whatever decision they make at the trade deadline, I'm going to trust them.
He's the believer. Kyle Wallace, I'm Josh DiMaggio. I've got some numbers I want to talk about next with you. A little
all
Packers
you guys need numbers.
Numbers. All right. Well, numbers. It's list season. We got numbers.
The only numbers I like is cash money. A lot of them.
Dollar bills. This is the Homer Hour. Josh DiMaggio and Kyle Wallace in for you on the Homer Hour on this beautiful Friday.
I haven't been outside since like 9 o'clock in the
morning. Kyle, I've been here since 5 in the morning.
I'm going to say, when I came in, it was a little hazy. CK, when you came in, was the sun out or no?
It looks good outside, but I am not going to complain about a long work day with Josh on the same show. No, that's one thing I just can't do.
5 hours is quite. I'll sleep at 5.
Before we get to the important numbers I want to talk about and play a little guessing game with you guys on, let's head out to the Carbless Talk and Text Line, 800-990. It is John in West Bend. John, what do you got for us today?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. First, for the wardrobe,
what up,
you just invite the neighbor from down the street with a new plastic bucket for him. That wardrobe is gone real quick. But if you're worried about burning down your house, throw a big sign on it that says free. You throw that thing at the curb, it's gone in an hour. But why I really called was I saw on Twitter yesterday, and I'm not a seam head like Ben, so I don't know who the guy
is.
I think he was with the Blue Jays.
Yes, Kevin Gausman.
Saying how, okay, he had no trade clauses with a number of, like, low-level teams, the Pirates, the Reds, and that. But included on there was the Brewers. So, one, who is this guy that he's so fantastic that he's too good to play for the number one team in baseball? And is that a guy that, yeah, they need? Or is that a guy that you just go, no, and when they go all in and win it all, you send him some flowers and say, thanks for not joining our team?
So Kevin Gausman is a seasoned vet at this point. The list here that I saw traded of his no-trade list has the Athletics, the Pirates, the Reds, the Tigers, the White Sox, the Mets, the Mariners, and the Brewers. What I think this list is, much less than a I don't want to be a Milwaukee Brewer, it's a I don't want to live in Milwaukee, I don't want to live in San Antonio. Where are the Athletics at right now? I don't want to live
Sacramento.
In Pittsburgh. Sacramento.
Sacramento,
that's it.
Yeah.
I don't want to live in Cincinnati, Detroit. And then I don't want to be with stinky teams like the New York Mets and the Chicago White Sox. I don't think this has anything to do.
White Sox is stinky.
I guess maybe it's just maybe a South Side he doesn't like, because they're pretty decent, to be fair.
Yeah.
I don't really think it has anything to do with the Milwaukee organization. I think he just doesn't want to move his family to Milwaukee. He hasn't had that great of a season. He was very good in the past, especially when he signed that contract with the Toronto Blue Jays. I understand where the offense comes from, but I think it's more about I'm a veteran at this point. I've made $100 million. I'm going to do what's best for me and my family, and that necessarily doesn't mean chasing World Series all around the country.
I think it just comes down to he just hasn't been to Milwaukee during the summertime. He just hasn't been here before. So, yeah, I don't think it's I saw it, and I'm like you. I was, John, I was like, wait a minute, who the hell he think he is? And I said, well, I love Milwaukee, but, he probably doesn't know how great it can be. Because did he play in Baltimore?
He played in Baltimore, yes. That's where he started his career. And then he signed a big-time contract with the Toronto Blue Jays. I believe it was like $110 million. He was good for a period. I think those days are past him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's not a type of guy where if the Brewers I don't think it was a make-or-break guy. It would be a guy who, if he were acquired here, we go, well, put him in the pitching lab. Maybe we can get something out of him, get some good, solid veteran innings. But there's plenty more pitching options.
He costs too much, too, doesn't he? You'll have to eat some of that contract, right?
I'm sure of it.
We don't even want them, so we ain't got to worry about it.
We're good without them. It's the Homer Hour. Josh DiMaggio and Kyle Wallace filling in on this Friday. I've got two numbers for you, and I want you guys to guess what the heck I'm talking about. It's number 5, and it's number 137. It's in the NFL. We're talking about the NFL here. It's number 5 and 137. If you were to take a wild stab, a wild guess, what would those numbers be?
Number 5, 137?
Uh-huh.
What are there 137 of? Packers, something to do with either Matt LaFleur, win total, Jordan Love being special.
Jordan Love is involved.
Okay, Jordan Love. 130.
Caleb Williams is also involved.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, if it's Jordan Love and Caleb Williams, it's Jordan Love 5, Caleb 137.
This list here I have, you are correct, Kyle Wallace. Good job. This list here is the ranking of all 191 first-round NFL draft picks since 2020. This comes to us from CBS Sports, Mike Renner. Jordan Love is the fifth-ranked player. He is only behind Joe Burrow, Drake May, Justin Jefferson, and Jackson Smith and Jigba as the best first-round picks since 2020.
Crazy.
And the 137? Caleb Williams.
Oh, well, don't tell Bears fans that. They're going to be real upset. They're going to be mad at CBS. Anything that's negative about Caleb Williams, they're like, oh, no, that's not real. This person's just a hater. I think for Packers fans, that just shows you how good Jordan Love is. You're talking about out of all seven rounds, out of all these draft picks since 2020, your quarterback, Jordan Love, is on that list. That is a list that includes Justin Herbert. Was he higher than Justin Herbert?
Sure was. I mean, right above him.
Yeah, and so I'm just saying there's a lot of great players that have come into the league over the 5 years. That includes Micah Parsons.
Yep. Micah Parsons is eighth on this list.
So it just shows you how impactful Jordan Love is, and it shows you how some folks view Jordan Love. I think Jordan Love is a phenomenal quarterback, and he really helped the Packers continue on their great streak of having great quarterbacks. And I really feel like Matt LaFleur in this offense is the only thing holding Jordan Love back from being called an elite quarterback simply because he doesn't throw the ball as much.
This list has it's broken down a few ways, and we're going to head to break here in just a moment and finish out the show. But it is the best first-round decisions. It is the top third. That list is 64 players long. And then there's the middle third, solid picks, mixed returns, and incomplete grades. This is where you find a lot of the Packers, Devontae Wyatt, Matthew Golden, Jordan Morgan all appear in this part.
And wait, then, Matthew Golden tired?
And then in the bottom third, most disappointing first-round decisions, you find 137, Caleb Williams, put right between Quiddy Pay, Mykal Williams, Travis Etienne, Kenny Pickett, James Pierce, Henry Ruggs.
Henry Ruggs.
That's a crazy name to be on there.
That's rough. You think it has to do because Drake May is a better quarterback and Jaden Daniels was a better quarterback?
I think it has, yes, it is both those things. It is one, he was the 101. The Chicago Bears had every opportunity to draft whoever they wanted, and they made the decision, in Mike Renner's opinion, of at least the third best quarterback in the first round.
I mean, how do you, and here's the thing, how do you even defend that or fight that when both of those
look at the results.
Yeah, both those quarterbacks have been in a championship game.
Uh-huh.
Your quarterback hasn't.
No.
And you can't say, oh, well, Washington is. No, Washington wasn't. Washington wasn't good at all. And when you talk about the Patriots, they were bad 2 years ago.
I totally agree. So, I couldn't. 137 felt a little aggressive to me, but I'm happy to see it. I know the people in the chat, I saw some of them saying they were going to report back to Cap. We've got people infiltrating the chat saying, I'm going to show Cap this.
That's so cool. But yeah. I'll say this. And also, for the Bears fans also have to remember, the number one pick wasn't actually how bad your team was that year. Like, you traded for that pick.
Uh-huh.
And so you made a good deal. You got that number one pick overall. And so, like, at the end of the day, your team wasn't awful. Whereas when you look at the Washington Commanders, bad.
Bad.
The New England Patriots were bad.
Yeah.
You guys weren't great. But those teams were really bad, and they already have surpassed you with your quarterback. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see in this year, but that's not a good look.
We're going to finish out your Friday night, your afternoon. Is it the night yet? I don't know. We'll finish it out next, the best way possible. I don't know what that means, but we got more Homer Hour coming up next. It's the Homer Hour. I'm Josh DiMaggio. In for Homer, alongside me is Kyle Wallace. You can listen to him on Kyle and Bruss from 2 to 5. Across these very stations. Kyle, we were talking about the weekend.
Yes, sir. I'm a little over, about 90, a little over under 90 seconds away from my weekend. Well, I got work to do, but, you know, even if I'm working, I know I don't have anything to do.
Once
I go
these
home,
mics,
done.
Once these mics go off, you can work and have yourself a little beverage. Kyle,
done
here's a question I got for you. What are your thoughts on the game night with friends?
Oh, I don't do them. I mean, luckily, my wife's friends aren't too close.
Yeah.
So we don't have to do game nights. We did do game nights with my little cousin. She's 14 last week.
Yeah.
I rolled my eyes when they wanted to play, try to teach a 14-year-old how to play
Yahtzee.
Yahtzee?
How did you know?
You were
shaking the dice.
That could be one of two things.
I was going to say, you might want to keep that hand down there. That is not the best visual. Please do not cut that and share that post that after. But that's what I have going on tonight. And I'm not a game night person, but the other person in my house is a game night person. I will have a good time. There'll be some cocktails for
you. How many folks coming over?
I think it's like 4 or 5.
All right, good time. Y'all hosting.
Yeah, yeah. We're a big host house.
She wants to be a big host house.
lay down the law a little bit more?
When we have children, trust me, I'm going to lose that. But now I'm good.
All right. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight. Have a good weekend, everybody. This has been the Homer Hour. Make good decisions. Talk to you next week.